of new COVID-19 cases sending prisons and correctional facilities into lockdown mode across the state. What does that mean for the rights of those on the inside? That's one of the topics we're about to dive into as we explore the legal world once again here on ABC Radio. As always, there's plenty to discuss with criminal law specialist Bill Potts and succession and elder law specialist Christine Smythe, both past presidents of the Queensland Law Society, and they join us. Now, thank you so much for doing so once again.
No problem.
Good morning, everyone.
Now, before we get to jail lockdowns, this was an interesting case of the law of finders keepers, or it may not be, as it may be. There was a case this week that I heard about where a number of tradies found $500,000 worth of cash buried on a construction site and on the Gold Coast. It was settled out of court this week in a confidential agreement. So I was just curious about this. I mean, the situation was there was an excavation operator and his labourer digging up land. They found the cash. They turned the cash over to police. Much to the dismay of the employer, apparently, when he learned of the money. So what should happen in this case? What's the situation when you find a big heap of cash?
Well, the tradies did the proper thing. If they hadn't have handed the cash in, they might have found themselves on the wrong end of the law with a charge of theft. So they did the right thing. I'm sure their employer felt otherwise. And it ended up with a Melbourne Cup field of entrance as to who was entitled to the money at the end of the day.
And so there is no rule of finders keepers?
The way it works is that if a person finds money, any item, they have a duty to hand that into the police. And if after a certain time someone hasn't claimed that money or that item for themselves and can establish that it's theirs, then the person who found the item can lay claim to it. But in this case, there are multiple parties who are laying claim to the money. So you had the two tradies who found it on the site. They were saying that because they found it, they were entitled to it. Their boss was saying, well, I employed you, so therefore I should be entitled to it. The landowner is saying, well, hang on a minute, the only reason you blokes are on the site is because I let you on the site. And then in from the side came the other entrant, was the a relative of a former owner of the property who was a descendant of a former owner of the property. The former owner died, and he was claiming that his relative had buried the money on the property because it was wrapped in Chinese newspaper and they were of Chinese descent. And then there was another person who came in who claimed that he had buried the money on the property. So everyone was having a bit of a go at it all, and surprisingly, in a very unusual circumstance when it involves money and the law, everyone walked away happy. You don't hear about that all too often.
And this is the settled out of court, this confidential settlement?
Yes, so any court case can be settled out of court by the parties at a mediation. So our court system encourages people to resolve disputes themselves through a formal process of alternative dispute resolution and mediation. And there are some technical reasons why a few cases can't be, but by and large, most cases can be resolved by parties. And in my experience as a civil lawyer, about 95% of cases are resolved through an alternative dispute resolution mechanism. So they come to an agreement themselves, they all went to a mediation, they all sat down and looked at it, because going to court is a bit risky. You never know what the outcome's going to be, so it's better that you control the outcome. They all got around a table, had a bit of a chat about who should get what and in what proportions, and they came to an agreement. That agreement was made confidential, and then it was approved by the court.
Do you have any understanding of what the judge might have done? I mean,
well,
is there precedent
the judge
that
did
shows?
Yes, there is precedent. All case law, all civil matters, in fact, criminal matters as well, are all derive from what has the previous cases have to say and what were their outcomes and how similar to this matter was that matter, and are there any differentiating factors. So precedent always plays a part, but the law talks about whether or not the, first of all, you have to identify who the owner of the property is, and if that person had abandoned that property. So that's the key factor, was that property abandoned? And that was part of the issue with the Ma family. They were saying that it wasn't abandoned, because in part of their argument was that the fellow who was claimed to have buried the money on the property, Mr. Ma's relative, had suffered dementia as well. So that was a complicating factor in it. So the courts do have precedents, and in this case, the judge gave an early indication of where his view was erring, and his view was leaning towards the property owner having the strongest claim over the money. And that I'm sure that have the judge providing that preliminary view may have assisted the parties to come to a resolution.
Very interesting. On ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland, Kate O'Toole is my name, and you're hearing from legal experts Christine Smythe and Bill Potts, both former presidents of the Queensland Law Society. We'll go to the jail lockdowns now, because we've heard, of course, because of COVID-19, there's been a lockdown mode in prisons and correctional facilities across parts of Queensland. So what implications is there when something like that happens, Bill?
There are a number of implications, and the first and foremost is that court cases which involve bringing prisoners either as defendants or as witnesses to courts simply has to stop because of the concern for public safety, and public safety trumps essentially everything. But there are a number of other problems, of course, that flow from it. One is that the courts are reluctant to send people to jail if they believe that that will have the effect of bringing COVID-19 either into the jail or exposing people to the disease. The other problem is this, is that many of the people who are in prison often are there because they've had problems with poverty or drug addiction, and sometimes they have compromised immune systems, and as a result jails have sometimes been referred to as petri dishes with bars. So if a disease spreads within the jails, as we've seen particularly in America and Europe and South America, there's a real possibility that that breeding ground will then spread the disease out into the wider community. So the courts and the government are being very careful, putting public safety first, but that means that sometimes witnesses, victims of crime, and defendants will have some delay in getting their court matters finalised.
What about for individuals who are in prison or at risk of being sent there for things like bail and parole hearings? What is there any kind of difference in the weight of those when you've got lockdown conditions?
There is. There's a significant issue that is involved in there. Firstly, if because of the disease that they're being isolated in jail cells, essentially in solitary confinement, there's a decision of Justice Applegarth in the Supreme Court that indicates that solitary confinement, one day of solitary confinement, is the equivalent essentially of 4 days out in the broader jail community. So there's a significant effect there. The second thing is that jailing someone and putting them in solitary confinement has a significant effect upon people's mental health. So there are real issues there. The other problems, of course, that we then see is that our jails are simply massively overcrowded. And the reality that we've experienced also is that where people are crowded together, where there's little or no relief by being able to mingle with each other, there's an increase both in violence towards guards and also amongst the prisoners. So there are significant sequelae to this disease problem.
So then is there a situation where people who run jails have to think of extraordinary measures to make sure that people can get out and stretch their legs, and or does the lockdown go indefinitely? Like what happens?
Well, firstly, public safety means that there's no particular time period that can be dictated. The second issue is that the safest way to effectively prevent the spread of the disease is to put people